Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to the MMA Fan Podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Stu and Blake.
Hello and welcome to the MMA Fan Podcast, UFC 262 post-fight show. Good morning, Blake Harrison.
Good morning, mate. How's it going?
Right?
Yeah, I'm really good, man. How are you?
Not bad, not bad. It's 20 past 10 on Sunday morning. What time did you get up and watch the scraps?
Six. I got up at six and watched the scraps. My son came, or it was just before six because my son came in before the alarm went off. And I left him in bed, although he came downstairs with me. So I was constantly putting like stuff on the iPad for him while I was watching the fights, being a terrible parent. So it was a bit of that going on. But what a bunch of fights.
I mean, we'll get on to that. I think what we should get on to is, big news, right?
Big, the biggest news in the podcast world this week, isn't it? I mean...
Absolutely.
No, obviously, I'm not talking about Prince Harry going on Dax Shepard. I'm talking about the MMA Fan Podcast finally getting a sponsor. Hey, come on, guys. Ole, ole. Oh, we're making it rain over here. Woohoo. No, but we're genuinely very excited about it because we've got Free Train on board. And Free Train are great. They do these fantastic running vests, which I already have one as well, and they are genuinely brilliant.
And that's not the sales pitch, is it? You did actually have one before they sponsored
already got,
the podcast.
I already had one, and I go running in it all the time. So your phone sits in the front little like pouch. So because beforehand, either you've got your phone smashing around in your pocket as you're running, or I've had one of those arm things before.
They don't work, man.
They're not that good because you're kind of like, oh, I want to like change over and listen to Stu and Blake on the MMA Fan Podcast, and I can't, nice. Or I want to fast forward what Stu's saying and just get to what Blake's saying, and
so nice.
You know, I can't I can't quite twist my arm enough to get this, you know, to get the function right or the fast forward or whatever. Whereas this, it just sits in a little pouch at the front. You can open it up, access to all the screen, no problems. Couple of little zip pockets up the top as well, where you can stick your keys or whatever. Absolutely perfect. Yeah, if you, you know, if you want to smoke and run at the same time, sure. So I think genuinely, I'm really pleased to have them on board because I genuinely like the product. I don't have to sit here and go, oh yeah, it's this thing that, you know, oh right, yeah. I genuinely think it's a really good product, and yeah.
And you can get one by heading over to the website, freetrain.com. And when you're over there, when you pop it in the basket and you're about to check out, if you use the discount code MMAFAN, you save yourself 10%. Eh?
Boom.
Don't say we don't spoil you.
Yeah, now everyone can make it rain with the MMA Fan Podcast and Free Train. Yeah.
You can't see just how much Blake's dancing right there. Oh, dear.
Right, well, shall we get on to UFC 262?
I mean, who do you give the fight bonus to? Have they announced
they
it?
They have announced fight bonus. There was someone who I think was on the Fight Pass prelims, which I never watched. I watched prelims. I watched the moment. I didn't watch Fight Pass. I think he was on the Fight Pass prelims and one of them got them, so I apologise. I don't know the name of that guy. But... Burgos Barbosa was fight of the night, and rightfully so. And may I add, on the pre-fight show, I called that. Absolutely called that. And then you look so angry with me when I say it.
So smug.
Well, yeah.
I just thought I'd drop it in there.
Yeah, and then Charles Oliveira. Charles Oliveira. And I mean, that was something else as well, wasn't it? So yeah, people that missed out on the fight bonuses. I thought Andrea Lee had a fantastic performance against Antonina Shevchenko.
Massively.
And we'll touch on it, but what an awful moment with Jacare and Muniz. But I'd almost not want to give one to Muniz, which they haven't, because of the way that fight went. But you could say he deserved it. You could say he deserved the fight bonus.
Yep. I mean, let's start at the bottom of the prelims. A big way to kick things off. Jordan Wright. Fucking hell.
Yeah.
He is a problem.
He is a problem. And it's that dangerous thing that you see. I don't know if it was Johnny Walker that used it recently as well. That when someone's taking you down against the fence, I mean, everyone does it. Those little elbows to the side or whatever. Yeah. But some people can just seem to get ridiculous power on it. Mm. And from that point on, Pickett seemed to be struggling on wobbly legs, and then Wright just finished him. And I think before that fight, was it before that fight, the Andrea Lee Antonina Shevchenko was on? And that was, I mean, she dominated her, didn't she, on the ground?
Yeah.
That second round, I mean, that was all that talk about her being on wobbly legs because she's had that triangle cinched in for like 3 minutes or whatever it was, and then she just turned it into the armbar, and that looked like it was going a very difficult, very bad angle. So, I mean, great performance from Andrea Lee. She looks strong as well. Great performance from Jordan Wright. And then we had England's own Mike Grundy taking on Lando Venata. Unfortunately, it didn't go Grundy's way. It was a really weird fight to score, though. I don't know about you.
But yeah, I completely agree. Like, I didn't think Grundy done anything wrong. I think he put in a decent performance. But yeah, I think for me, that fight just didn't have the fireworks that were already going off. Do you know what I mean? The fights previous to that was like, whoa! And then, this was just a normal fight. But, you know, the whole event was already on a very, very high pedestal, I think. And yeah, that one, for me, it didn't really pull me in.
Yeah. No, I mean, look, I was quite into it. I thought Venata looked really good on the feet. Takedown defence was really good. Grundy was kept going. I thought it was weird, and I think it was reflected in the judges' scoring as well, because it was obviously a split decision win for Venata. It was 29-28 on one card, but then it was 30-27 to Grundy on one card and 30-27 to Venata on one card. And that just shows how weird a fight it was, because I think Venata outstruck Grundy constantly, but the more impactful strikes were Grundy's. He really snapped his head back a few times with the right hand. So it is difficult to know how to judge that, I think. And I know, you know, if anyone's got any, if you're ever unsure about the judging criteria, and I think I need to relook at it, or maybe we should get this guy on the show at some point soon. But Sean Sheehan, you can find him on Twitter. He put up a fantastic video on YouTube a while back of the judging criteria. And it is when you know about it, it can make things easier, and it can make you get sometimes frustrated at the narratives in the commentary. But also it can make things even more confusing for you at times, because you're watching it going, well, that was more impactful, but he's only hit him twice this round, and the other guy's hit him. Like, so it's difficult to judge, and that was reflected in the way the judges scored the fight, I think. But hard luck for Grundy. We obviously want to see the British fighters do well. And then
Jacare.
Oh, mate. Yeah. And the interesting thing, I mean, in a way, has this got a bit of commentator's curse about it? Because they started off and they were like, oh, yeah, Muniz said earlier in the week that he's got the grappling advantage over a legend like Jacare. That is a wild statement to make. And how dare you say that you can out-grapple Jacare? And then poor old Jacare's like, stop putting the jinx on me, boys.
And,
and then Muniz goes and breaks Jacare's arm. And I mean, what an absolute warrior Jacare is. I mean, he didn't look like he flinched. No. He didn't tap. The ref stopped it because the arm was broken.
Yeah.
He didn't tap. He just kind of sat up and was all right. It seemed, it was bizarre.
Because the ref kind of held his arm, didn't he, as he sat up. And then he just got up straight away and just then sort of kind of embraced. And it was like, wow, like that. I mean, I've never broke my arm, but I don't think I'd be embracing anyone if I just had my arm snapped. I mean, I missed it first time. When it happened, I was like, oh, did something pop then? Because everyone was like, all the commentary were like, whoa. Then when you watched it back and you just see it just whoop, pop, it's like, yeah. No one needs to see that. And
you heard it as well. Did you hear it?
Yeah.
Because I remember they were talking about like hearing it. I was like, oh, okay, hang on a minute. And I did. I just kept watching every replay, even though like it is gross to watch. It wasn't as bad as Weidman. I mean, Jesus Christ, I couldn't watch Weidman again. That was just horrific. But the Jacare one, you really did. You heard that snap.
Yeah.
You just heard quite a loud snap as well.
Yeah.
Or even just thinking about it now, it makes me go a bit funny. I don't like it. But yeah, I mean, he's a problem for people. And it was a weird one, the way he kind of got on his back. He was a bit too high, and you thought, oh, Jacare could kind of, like, shake him off the way that they do. They build that kind of tripod base or whatever and shake him off. And he just seemed to roll into a position where Jacare's arm was at a really bad position and snapped. So, and Jacare's not young, 41 years old. Is that going to be an easy thing to come back from? What's his future like in the UFC as well? Because the UFC have been cutting a lot of their older stars that are on big money that aren't quite performing up to scratch. We see it with, the Fabricio Verdums and who else have we had recently? I think Tyron Woodley might be gone now as well. And there's been a few big cuts, like Junior Dos Santos as well. And there was a few a while back, a few big cuts. From the UFC, where they were getting rid of their kind of stars that were stars and are now just names with huge paychecks to pay off. You wonder if Jacare's time with the UFC might be done, especially if he's got to do a long recovery at the age of 41 with a broken arm. So fingers crossed it's not too bad. It can come back all right. But yeah, what a win for Muniz. And he's looking at a top 15 guy in that middleweight division now.
Definitely. I mean, should we get on to the next fight? Because yes, you did call it. That it was going to be fight of the night, and
I did call it. But one bit I was confused about, because I've clearly not been keeping up with the news enough, is I was expecting Hermanson Shahbazyan, and I've clearly not been keeping up with the news enough. But that's been pushed back a week because someone in Hermanson's camp got COVID. Not Hermanson. Hermanson's not tested positive for COVID, but someone in Hermanson's camp got COVID. So that fight earlier this week was pushed to next week's card, the Garbrandt Font Garbrandt fight. That card's got a lot better now. They've got Garbrandt Font as a main event, and then Hermanson Shahbazyan afterwards. So shame that we didn't get it last night. I was looking forward to that fight, but I'm looking forward to it, you know, next week as well. But I was half expecting that fight to happen, and then it didn't, and then I had to look up what went on. But let's push on to the main card.
Well,
what a way to start it.
Yeah, ridiculous. I love watching... Well, everyone loves watching Barboza just because he's an absolute beast and he can really throw some flamboyant stuff. But it was just, right from the off, just that Muay Thai style against the boxer, and it was just them leg kicks. It was just like, oh my life. Like, they were just relentless. And Burgos is tough, man.
Yeah.
Like, because he wasn't grimacing at all when any of them kicks landed. He started to kind of try and check him and lift his leg a little bit more. Yeah. But when you fight like Burgos, it's like you're on that front foot, you're boxing. And yeah, and if someone's just got that front foot planted in front of someone like Barboza, it's going to get an absolute cane in that leg.
Yeah.
That said, Burgos did start throwing some calf kicks himself as well, which I thought were pretty decent.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, look, I mean, it's funny because I did call that this would be fight of the night, but what I didn't call was
third mention. Yeah. So far, not bad. No, considering we've been going 13 minutes.
I'm surprised that you didn't mention that I picked Burgos to win this fight. So I got that completely wrong because I thought Burgos, and you could see why. I think the fight showed elements of what I thought was going to happen in terms of like Burgos was pushing forward, eating the shots and just coming on to Barbosa. And Barbosa, for quite a lot of it, was having to backpedal and move away because Burgos
was counter-striking brilliantly, though.
Yes, that was the thing. I don't think I anticipated, particularly with the hands, I didn't think Barbosa's hands would be able to counter Burgos as well
so
as they did.
Fast, his hands.
Yeah.
He threw one combination of three, maybe four shots. And I think Rogan or DC was just like, oh my God, it was just lightning hands. And I thought that was one of the best Barbosas we've seen.
Yeah, he looked fantastic. And then, you know, and he still got a patented wheel kick in as well towards the end of the first round. It was blocked, but you could see it still rocked him because the shot after that really kind of rattled Burgos. Even though he didn't go down, from what I remember, he was really, really rattled.
But and checking that with your forearm, that's still going to hurt. Like, that's being hit with a bat.
Yeah,
it really
absolutely
is being hit with a bat. And, you know, I guess when people do sort of see fighters check kicks and get their hand up and you know, and block a kick, they're still getting whacked by, you know, an absolute killer, like, you know, on your arm. And, yeah, in the end, I felt a bit sorry for Burgos because he was kind of sort of, not showboating, but he was kind of acknowledging and smiling a little bit back at Barbosa. And I just think Edson just went to work and it was just an incredible performance. And the finish, I mean, I'd never seen anything like that.
I've never seen anything like it. I mean, they mentioned it on the broadcast, even though I think it's even less of a delay. You get those liver shots where you see someone take it and then it's a second later before their body starts to crumble and they wince and they're like, oh no, my body's shutting down, I've been hitting the liver. I've not seen it where someone's been hit to the head and stood there, but he stood there for eight. It was more than a second.
It weren't even a second.
It was two or three seconds. And it was so strange to see Barbosa hit him, then stay back for two or three seconds trying to pick the next shot. And then all of a sudden, Burgos just started falling and just tumbling backwards. His legs just went. It was incredibly bizarre. I'd never seen anything like it. And in a way, I found it quite concerning.
Absolutely.
You know, something like that, you kind of go, well, what's happened to his brain there for it to shut down in or shut his legs and body down in the manner that it did? Because after the fight, he seemed to be like, I don't get it. How would it happen? I wasn't sure. And it was almost like he was sort of semi-conscious whilst he was going down. And I don't know. But I found that a really worrying knockout.
Yeah. Because when he first got struck, and am I right that there was a left, and then did he catch him on the... I don't think it was behind the ear. It was on the jaw, wasn't it?
I think the hand, from what I saw, caught him on, like, the head, like maybe like just behind the temple.
Right, oh, okay.
That's how I remember it. I mean, look, we've both only seen it once and we've come straight away and there's been a lot of action since that fight as well. But from what I remember, the right hand caught him kind of around the kind of just behind the temple, top of the head type thing. And,
but there was no wobble and his eyes were still fixed on Barbosa. Yep. And then as he stumbled back, when he's kind of plonked down on his ass, his eyes went then. And like you said, I was just like, stop this, because this is weird. I've never seen anything like this. That's such a delayed response to a head strike. Yeah. Like, you know, the ref needs to get in there ASAP and stop this. You know,
He took a couple of strikes
anything
while he was down as well. I mean, it was such a weird knockout that, like, you can't necessarily blame the ref for that because it was so strange.
Well, the ref's only got a second to process what we was all watching as well, and it made no sense. So you can understand why, you know, we've seen fighters kind of do the wobbly legs thing, lean back on the cage and you know, dupe fighters to come running in and then just spark them. So that is sometimes used as well. But, that was just a bizarre ending, but an incredible fight, incredible fight.
Yeah, absolutely deserved fight of the night. I'm glad that Burgos, despite losing, because he did still put on a half decent performance. He was there. He's absolutely a game fighter. He's one of those fighters that I go, I will watch you fight anyone. If you're ever on the prelims or whatever, I'm tuning in early for it. You know, that he's a game fighter that is always coming forward. And I'm glad to see that he got 75K, because that's the other thing. Tony Ferguson in the pre-fight press conference says to Dana, the last time we were in Houston, you made the bonuses 75K. So will you do that again? And Dana did.
Yeah.
Good on Tony Ferguson getting other people a good extra 25K on their bonuses. So Shane Burgos, extra 75K after, you know, getting knocked out. But he's one of those ones where after seeing that, I want to see Burgos maybe take some time. Like maybe just kind of take at least maybe 6 months off, because that was weird. And I'd hope that he's getting a few tests done to make sure that everything is okay. Because the last thing we need is him going back into a fight in 3 months' time and something, you know, really unpleasant happening because
Absolutely.
Of that. Because that was quite scary. I didn't enjoy that at all. But in terms of Barboza, he looked fantastic. Featherweight is suiting him. I mean, he's got that loss to Dan Ige that I thought he won, and he said in the post-fight interview, you know, 3-0 at featherweight. Technically, he isn't, but I can see why he would think that way, doing the old Sean O'Malley kind of, I'll make my own stats thing. But Arnold Allen was calling out Barboza a while back. Now, I think Arnold, after the win streak he's on, deserves someone further in front of him. He deserves like a Zabit or a Yair, you know, in effectively a number one contender fight. But he called out Barboza before. Allen is still maybe not getting the love that he deserves, particularly outside of the UK, I'd say. Yep. So maybe a big name like Barboza, especially off Barboza coming off that win, if Allen thinks it's a good matchup for him, then maybe that's a good fight to take, because you beat Barboza after that win, surely you're only one away. And he's just, I mean, I think he should be one away anyway. If I had my way, Arnold Allen would be fighting a Yair or a Zabit and then going for the belt after that. But it's a tricky one, featherweight. We've got Ortega Volkanovski coming up for the belt after the tough series. We don't know when that's going to be booked for. Holloway's rightfully waiting in the wings after that performance against Calvin Kattar. So there might have to be a few fights, because this stuff might take time to sort itself out. Outside of Max Holloway, it might be another year before anyone else is getting a title shot. So maybe a Barboza fight is a good fight. I don't know. I know he's called for it in the past and it didn't work out. So now, big name, that could be a good shout for Arnold Allen, maybe, and that'll be a really interesting fight. And I think Barboza would like that fight as well.
Definitely.
Moving on, we had your mate, Chugachian.
Do you know what, right, prick? Like, I was literally, when they were doing the commentary, I was just saying it back as they were saying it, and I just thought, right, I'm going to boss it post-fight. I still can't say it.
Chukagian. Oh, there you go, mate. Hey, we did it. Chukagian. But yeah, I mean, that was an interesting fight. I have heard some people say that they thought Araujo won that fight, because they maybe thought that she won rounds one or two. I personally think that Chukagian won that fight. I didn't really have a problem with it. I thought that she outstruck her. I thought there was maybe a moment on the ground where things looked dicey for her, but she dealt with it well. It was fine. It was never really cinched in. There was that moment where they thought she tapped, and I did. I remember watching it live.
Did you?
Going,
what? Was it happened? You thought she
as
tapped?
As it happened, yeah. Because also there was that whole situation with Fabrizio Werdum. I can't remember who he fought in PFL most recently, but Werdum faced a guy who genuinely did tap. And then the ref missed it, and the guy ended up knocking Werdum out later in that round, even though he had previously tapped. So that fight's been turned to a no contest as far as I'm aware. And I was like, oh God, did Chukagian just tap? Because she did do a little motion, but I think what she was trying to do was locate her other hand.
Find her hand, definitely.
To get the... So, yeah, so that was a good call. That didn't look like a dodgy tap. But live, I was like, oh, hang on, was it? And then because they just moved straight on, I was like, oh, no, it can't be. The people would have picked that up. But then they mentioned it later on. But no, I thought that that Chookagian did really well. Was She's not the most exciting fighter in the world, but... She was out striking. She was doing enough. I thought she performed pretty well and deserved to win that fight. She's in a tough spot next, though, in terms of who does she take on? Because she got beat by Valentina. She was beat by Jessica Andrade. I know. I wonder if Andrade is maybe going to drop down to 115 now. But there's a lot of people in that division that Chookagian's already beaten, like JoJo, and I think Lauren Murphy as well. But maybe the loser of Lauren Murphy, JoJo, fights Chookagian. That person will try and get one back on Chookagian. Chookagian just needs to keep racking up wins to deserve going back against Valentina after already getting beat by her. Alexa it's Grasso's in the mix as well. It is a tough place to be. So, you know, she's beaten most people other than the champion. And then there was Jessica Andrade, which was, you know, one of those ones where she got a big shot to the body and it all went wrong for her. Mm. But she has beaten a lot of the top people in that division already. So, yeah, I think she's just going to have... and it's difficult for the UFC because you've got someone like Alexa Grasso coming in who is like maybe one or two away from fighting Valentina. But if you put her against Chookagian, are you like, well, do we want her to face Chookagian? Because if she wins, then you've ruined a match for Valentina. Yeah. You've got to try and... Chookagian, someone that I think all the best prospects, they might want to try and avoid Chookagian... to get to the belt.
Yeah.
But what do you do? Like, it's a real trigger run. I feel sorry for Chookagian. I don't know what she's going to do next, but I think possibly the loser of Lauren Murphy, JoJo Calderwood, is a good shout just to keep her going. But she has beat both those girls before, I think. So that is a tough one. But yeah, also what I didn't enjoy was the booing. That's the one thing of the crowds coming back. It happened in the Chanel Bontarin fight as well. The crowd's booing. You just don't need it. Why are you booing?
You're back in a venue. You're back in a venue watching a UFC. Like, you should be having the best time. You should not be booing anything. Like, it's grim, man. And, like, I mean, there was more boos, obviously, as the card went on as well at the end. And just...
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
It's just stupid, man. I just don't get it.
It's just stupid. Even if you don't like, by all means, I mean, I'm not a fan of booing in general. I think it's pretty dumb. But if you've got a situation where you're like, we'll move on to the Ferguson-Dariush fight. But obviously, Ferguson came into that the big fan favourite. Everyone was cheering for him. Dariush got boos. If you want to boo the guy as they're announcing him to show we're not supporting you, we're supporting the other guy, then, you know, whatever. If you want to do that, go for it, fine. But to boo during the fight or to boo after the fight, come on, it's just disrespectful and it's just not... It's not on. You're not going to get in there and do it. These people are putting everything on the line. We've seen broken leg the other week, broken arm this week, a knockout that was scary in Burgos where he just kind of collapsed after taking the shot free and collapse 3 seconds later. These people are doing a lot for your entertainment. 100%. Just show some fucking respect. And so, yeah, I'm not down with the booing there, but there was more booing in the Schnell Bontorin fight. What did you think of that?
I've got to be honest. I mean, I weren't sitting on my sofa booing, but it didn't do a lot for me.
No. Well, it was a weird one. I mean, Bontorin came in as a last-minute replacement for Alex Perez, which would have been a far more kind of...
Yeah.
A fight that if Schnell maybe won, he's looking at maybe going in for a title shot next or something like that, maybe. And also, because it was a last-minute replacement, they had to do it at catch weight. And even at a catch weight, Bontorin missed the weight. Yeah. So it was tricky. I thought Bontorin looked good.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah. I think Bontorin looked good. But again, it wasn't the most exciting. I think it was fine. The boos were still so annoying, though. But it was one of those ones where when people are last-minute replacements and then they can't fight at the right weight, and rightfully so, you can't force someone on a last-notice replacement to make that weight. You know, catch weight, you know, that's what should be done for everyone's health and safety. The weight cutting needs to be taken seriously. But it does, as a fan, make me go, huh? You know, how much does this... Is this a real kind of... what's the word? How valid is this in terms of the scope of the division?
Yeah.
And, yeah, so, I mean, next up, Bontorin, I think, was out for a while as well. I mean, Tim Elliott's out there as potentially a good fight for him or for Matt Schnell. Also, Alex Perez fell out of that fight. I can't remember what the reason. It might have been COVID-related. I'm not sure. But Perez fell out of that fight. Maybe Bontorin slides into where Schnell was and fights Alex Perez next.
Who's Tim Elliott got? He's got a fight lined up, I'm sure.
Does he? He might do. I don't know. But if he wins, maybe there's still that there. I don't know.
Come on, let's get on to the big one.
Everyone's listening going, fast forward, yeah. All right. Dariush, Tony Ferguson, co-main event.
Just quickly, did we make calls on who was going to win this?
Yeah, we did.
On the pre-fight show. We did, didn't we? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, right, yeah. Just double-checking.
Why? Did you have Dariush? I can't even remember.
Yeah, boy!
Yeah, I mean, I had Dariush as well, so it's not, you know... You're not rubbing anything in.
Just let me have my moment.
Just so you know, I had Chukagian to win as well if we're playing that game.
I would have, but I just couldn't say it.
Chukachian, who? I think she's fighting, mate. Dariush Ferguson. I mean, just from the off, it was great, wasn't it? I mean, Dariush, knowing the crowd was going to boo him, I think, because of what happened at the press conference,
Let's talk about the press conference. Let's talk about that, right? Tony Ferguson, right? He must have a lot of money. He must be doing well. You know, he's elite level. And I'm sure there must be all sorts of people wanting to throw stuff at him to wear. Why does he consistently wear the worst sunglasses ever? They're so bad. It just annoys me. And I don't want to start raining any more shit on Tony because he's had a rough night. But, every time he comes out, and I just think, when Connor comes out and gobs off and gives it all, he always looks immaculate and looks super cool. Tony literally had a pair of three-quarter length shorts that looked like they come from Sports Direct and a kind of, and then sunglasses with day glow arms. What is that about?
All right. Here's a serious question for you then. If you for one day, all day, and had to go about like with mates and see people and everything, had to dress as Tony Ferguson in that press conference or in Colby Covington's camouflage suit, what would you go in?
Ferguson all day long.
No love for the camouflage suit.
No, man. My mates would be like, what's with the sunglasses, dude? If I rocked up in that camouflage suit, they'd be like, mate, you look a fucking melt. What are you doing? It's like, straight away.
I mean, you say that, you're wearing a camouflage t-shirt right now.
I didn't think you could see it. Like,
yeah, I can see it, mate.
And I mean, things got a little bit heated, didn't it, when Tony kind of called out Dariush about helping Gaethje train.
Yep. Calling him mentally weak.
Yeah, and, you know, probably not the best week to be saying things like that. But yeah, I just think, I don't know. I thought that it like Darish was going to be too much for Tony. And I mean, if we start with round one, like Darius just bossed him. And I was just thinking, is he going to gas here? Because he come out blazing, didn't he?
Yes, he did. He came out very quick, very aggressive. He clearly had a game plan. And I think after watching what Oliveira did 100%. To Ferguson, I think he thought, it's so weird, isn't it, how quickly things change in MMA. I mean, because I said in the pre-fight show that Tony Ferguson unfortunately might be going the way of a Tyron Woodley. And yeah. It's really, really sad to see, but I really think he is. And he's been, I mean, age is a big factor. He's like 37 or 38 now, Tony Ferguson. Woodley's up there in age as well. But it's so quick how you go from, like, you look at Tyron Woodley, who, in his own words, and I think rightfully so, laid out the blueprint for fighting specialists like Damian Maia, Wonderboy Thompson. He knocked out Robbie Lawler in round one when Robbie Lawler was king of the world with all these amazing fights under his belt. He sparked Darren Till when Darren Till was getting the big push. And then he comes up against Usman. 5 rounds he lost by. He wasn't there mentally, he said. Then he comes up. Who was it after that? Was it Gilbert Burns? Gilbert Burns absolutely destroyed him. Colby Covington destroyed him. And then we saw him fight a better fight against Luque, but then still got knocked out. And that's it. Four-fight losing streak, mate. You're done as a contender. Not saying you're done as a mixed martial artist, but you're definitely done as an elite-level contender. And I think we're looking at that with Tony Ferguson. It is a travesty that man went on a 12-fight win streak and did not win the proper title.
I mean, they tried to make that happen, didn't
they? I know they tried. I know there was tripping over because he was wearing his Dayglo sunglasses indoors that you love so much. I know there was Tiramisu Tuesdays. I know there was all this stuff that was getting in the way of Tony fighting properly against Khabib for the belt. Arguably, he could have been having title shots before that anyway. But it's a real shame that he was only ever an interim champion. But time caught up with him. Gaethje just destroyed him. He's not been the same since Gaethje. Oliveira, I mean, we've seen how good Oliveira is as well. Oliveira dominated him, and now Dariush has dominated him. And yeah, I mean, Tony's also just maybe a bit too tough for his own good, because, I mean, the blows he took against Gaethje, maybe that fight could have been stopped earlier, or had he been knocked out in round three, maybe he would have taken far less damage and things would have been better for him long term. After that, Oliveira absolutely destroyed his arm. Is his arm back to normal after that? I mean, he didn't tap, but his arm was hyperextended and all sorts of messed up. And then in a Dariush fight, the leg, the knee, was it a knee bar or a heel hook? I can't remember what it was, but
something cracked there as well.
Yeah, and you could see him wincing in pain, but he wouldn't tap. I mean, credit to the toughness, but maybe he's too tough for his own good.
Just looking at his record, you know, before the Gaethje fight, you know, Cerrone, Pettis, Kevin Lee, Dos Anjos, you know, Venata, Barbosa, Josh Thompson, Gleason, Tebow, and every single one of them is either fight of the night or performance of the night.
Wow.
All of them. All of them.
Like, that's incredible.
That's unbelievable, isn't it? I mean, that's a legit...
Yeah.
I mean, and it was one of them... You know, for me, he was one of them fighters that you just thought, someone's got to do something special to stop Tony Ferguson. And obviously, you know, we all wanted to see the big fight and it never happened. And you just wonder what's happened in that time. Like you said, how much did that, you know, mauling by Gaethje take out of him? And yeah, and then it's 3 on the bounce now. Where's Tony going now?
I mean, look, there's always going to be a place for Tony as long as the UFC want to pay what I assume is quite heavy wages for him to just be fighting guys at the lower part of the top 10, maybe even the top 15, I don't know. But I don't think he's a top 5 fighter anymore. And so do the UFC want to pay big to have him headline fight nights or just be a booster to a pay-per-view? I don't know. And if he loses the next one, that's four fights on the skid. Granted, he's losing to elite level opposition, but it is, you know, yeah. I mean, how much damage is that knee taken? I just don't know. I'd like to see him in the old welterweight legends league that we've want to set up. There's been some great fights in there. I mean, Tony Ferguson, Nate Diaz, sign me up all day long. What a fight that would be. Mm. And there's a few of those, Condit, Lawler, Matt Brown, you know, any of those. I'd watch any of that. I think that'd be fantastic to watch. But I think you've seen the blueprint to beat Tony now. So you can't pair him up with a very dominant wrestler. Which is why I think, as much as I was on the bandwagon for Khabib, Tony off his back, we were all wrong. Khabib would have mauled Tony. And we all have to accept that we were completely wrong. He's a character, isn't he? Everyone still loves him. You saw the arena going nuts for him. I love the fact that he got that bloke to move so he could kick the post while he was warming up. Did you see that? The bloke was like, what's happening? And then he moves him out the way and he's just kicking the post aggressively where he was stood. And the guy's trying to look calm as if this is normal. Look, he's an absolute character. If he went over to Bellator, there'd be some great fights for him. I'm sure they'd love to have him there. But again, even at Bellator, will he do that well? I don't know. It'll be tricky. It'll be tricky to know. I think Tony's someone that will want to keep fighting. Whether he should is another issue. But on to happier things in terms of Beneil Dariush, who unfortunately, as I said in the pre-fight show...
Hang on. Literally got to have a piss. I'm breaking my neck for a piss. I've had two cups of coffee and I ain't had a wee yet, and I'm literally just fidgeting in my seat.
I mean, what happens here? Do I just carry on talking to the people, or are we pausing this?
Weird. No, we'll just have this bit edited out, maybe.
Oh, how dare you? How dare you? I can talk to the people. They'll love hearing me. Don't take your headphones off. How dare you? Oh, my Christ. All right, well, look, I've been left here alone to talk to you. Do I just carry on talking? We'll probably edit this out, to be fair, but maybe it'll be fun. Our editor might enjoy listening to some of this. Beneil Dariush, who does he fight next? Answers on a postcard. Send them to the MMA Fan Podcast at P.O. Box, MMA Fan Podcast. I was about to say .com, but that makes no sense, does it? Yeah, we'll edit this out. And the question is, did you wash your hands?
Of course I did. I didn't dry them. I'd done the little flick as I was running up the garden.
All right. Well, I'm sure we'll edit
Have you just been slagging me off for the last 5 minutes?
Pretty much, yeah. Nah, it's been fine. I mean, we will, I'm sure, edit that out. But I was just rambling the whole time, so it's going to be weird. It's going to be very weird. But anyway, on to the happy things we were about to talk about, which was Beneil Dariush. Now, unfortunately, as I said in the pre-fight show, if Dariush wins, it was still a slightly kind of lose-lose situation because people will just say, oh, he's beaten a Tony Ferguson that's now kind of washed up. You know, he's not the same guy anymore.
Yeah.
And I think that can be said, but it's a shame for Beneil because he really does deserve a bit more credit. But what didn't help him on top of that is he didn't exactly ingratiate himself towards the fans because it was a slightly dull end to the fight. Like, that first round was pretty action-packed and was interesting. The knee popping, I can't remember if that was the round two or if that was round three, but towards the end, like for majority of round three, they were basically, without being too crude, in the 69 position for about 3 minutes, and they just kind of lay there.
Get a little bit boring, didn't it, that bit?
Yeah, it did, and I think the crowd was shouting, stand them up, there was a few boos, and I think if you want to impress the boss and you want to get those big fights where you're now down shortlisted for the title shot, I think you can't have the crowd shouting that shit during your fight. And as I said last week, I wonder if he's not going to get the big fight he wants. And I wonder if he's going to end up fighting like a Gregor Gillespie. or something like that, which would be a real shame for him. And maybe he'll turn that down because there are more exciting options out there. One of them, I think, now potentially being Michael Chandler. Mm. I mean, Michael Chandler was obviously knocked out. We'll get on to that. But Dariush mentioned he wants to spend time with his daughter. He doesn't really want to fight now towards the end of the year. So there's a few extra things that will line up in that time. We've got Conor Poirier, which will be a massive say in who fights Oliveira next. Gaethje is waiting in the wings. Chandler is potentially there now as well, depending on how much time he's going to take off. So there are big fights out there potentially for Dariush. The loser of Poirier McGregor. I don't see that happening though. Maybe if it's Poirier. Gaethje, maybe.
There's too many more exciting fights, unfortunately.
Yeah. So Beneil Dariush might not be in the most amazing position that he really maybe should be in on after the win streak he's had and after beating a name like Tony Ferguson. But we'll have to see.
He called out Elon Musk.
Great fight there, you know. Can Elon wear, like, some kind of specialist armour? Like, some kind of electronics? Like what Batman did when he fought Superman. He had, like, yeah. Some kind of, like, robot armour. Elon Musk in robot armour, like, created by Tesla, against Beneil Dariush.
I'm all over that, mate. All over that.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I mean, that's what will, you know, make Dariush's... Yeah, I was about to say make Dariush's fights more exciting. Dariush's fights are exciting. He has fantastic fights. It was just that the end of this one was maybe not what he was looking for with big crowd and, you know,
yeah,
with the gravitas of the fight.
It started big, didn't it? It started so fast and aggressively. And then I guess, you know, if you're in the octagon with Tony Ferguson, you've got to do whatever you need to do to get that win because...
Yeah.
You're fighting Tony Ferguson, so
and he's still dangerous. He got a darce choke at one point that you thought, "Oh,
completely."
This, you know, he's still dangerous. Yep.
Like that it's exactly that. If you know, if you have to 69 Tony Ferguson for 2 minutes to get that win, it's what you got to do, Blake. It's what you got to do, mate.
You do what you got to do, man. yeah. Well, let's see what happens there. Let's move on to the main event of the evening: the vacant lightweight title fight. Oliveira v. Chandler, and wow, that was amazing. What a crazy fight. Mad.
Yeah, yeah. The whole fight felt so fast. When it finished, I was just like, whoa. Like, we're in the second round. It just felt so rapid. And I thought, Chandler looked really good in round one.
He did.
So strong. You could tell that, you know, Oliveira, you know, did not want to get, you know, clocked by him. But he's tough, Oliveira, man. He had a lot of big shots that, you know, and I've just thought when he clearly hurt Oliveira and it went to the ground, and I just kept thinking to myself, just get up, stand up and box him, because you do not want to be on the floor with him. It's not a good place to be.
No.
You know, and as DC said, like, you know, the way that wrestlers get up isn't always ideal when you've got a BJJ specialist there. And obviously he did open himself up. But yeah, I just kept thinking, just stand up. Because this week's been quite strange. I have been spending a lot of time on Fight Pass, and I've been watching lots of the embedded stuff and trying to find out a bit more about Michael Chandler. I love him.
I love him. I love him, his family. I know he's got his adopted son. Is it Hap, his son, who he adopted? I think he's about like 4 years old or something like that. His wife always wanted to adopt. I mean, it's a beautiful family, a beautiful story. Yeah. And you do root for Chandler after hearing him speak and looking at his family life and all that kind of stuff. It seems like he's probably a really good guy. I mean, Oliveira, there's no one that deserves it more than Oliveira, though, is there?
Absolutely.
I mean,
absolutely.
Was it eight fight win streak now? He had his problems down at featherweight. There was questions about his mental toughness. I think probably because at featherweight, he was probably depleting his body too much and didn't have the chin and didn't have the fortitude to keep going because he dehydrated himself too much. But I mean, just to go back onto the fight, that the round was nuts. It was like, that first round was like, Chandler hits him with a big shot. And I thought Oliveira would win, but I thought if Chandler's going to win, it's going to be like a knockout. He's going to hit him with that big power. And Chandler caught him with that big right hand. And Oliveira shot on Chandler. And I was like, what is happening? He must be really hurt for him to shoot on Chandler. But he got him down. But Chandler got him in a guillotine. And I was like, oh my God, is Michael Chandler about to submit Charles Oliveira? That would have been absolutely mental. Then, I mean, Chandler describes his wrestling, I think, in previous interviews and stuff as anti-jiu-jitsu. Like, he thinks that his wrestling is the perfect style to fight the elite-level jiu-jitsu fighters. And for large parts of that round, I thought I had to agree with him. He was landing some ground and pound. He was able to dominate a lot of the position. He wasn't in big danger until there was that situation where I can't remember how or why he gave his back up, but then he slammed them both to the ground.
Yeah.
And he was battling the hands. But again, it was one of those ones where you're like, oh, Chandler's in big trouble here. Like, I thought Oliveira's in big trouble because of that knockout blow that he almost, that he came back from. Then you thought, oh, no, Chandler's in trouble because Oliveira's got his back. And Chandler exploded out of that and dealt with that incredibly well as well.
That was brilliant how he come out of that. I mean, where he slammed him on his back, I know, like, that DC and that was like, that looks great, but that's not cool. That he'll just get his legs in tighter. Yeah. And but he didn't seem panicked at all. You know, he obviously done that back slam. And then, like you say, then he got out of it. And it was like, just exciting fight. And... Yeah, I don't know what Oliveira's corner said in between rounds. I don't know if there was a translator putting anything back out to the mics there. But, I didn't want that fight to end. I could have watched five rounds of that.
Oh, 100%. And I think that actually puts Chandler in good stead because he won that first round. Oliveira came out and caught him with a beauty left hook and then was following him around the cage and then caught him with another one. Yeah. And in a way, I don't think Chandler's stock will have dropped that much. I think if Chandler does go and fights like a Benil Dariush and wins, especially if the belt changes hands and Oliveira's not the champion, if a Poirier comes in and wins it, I think Chandler could be just one or two fights away from going back in for a title fight. I mean, it's quite a stacked division, so that is tough, and it depends on how he wins his fights and all that kind of stuff. But I think...
Chandler Poirier is a great fight, Blake.
Yeah, I mean, but there's so many great fights in that division, at the top of that division now, I think. But you've definitely got a chance of Michael Chandler fighting again for that belt. He said in interviews he's not here for a long time, he's here for a good time. But I think that he's going to be here long enough to get another crack at the belt as long as he can win his next two fights. I think he could be in there because he's very marketable. Fans like him, people will tune in for him, and that was a good fight. He won that first round. If you do Oliveira v Chandler 10 times, that could be 5-5 after those 10 fights. Yeah. Like, it really could go either way, I think. But Oliveira's 31. He's young. He's probably going to get better. And I think out of anyone in that lightweight division, he is the only one that could potentially, and it is a big if, potentially bring Khabib out of retirement. He's probably got to get four, you know, good title defenses under his belt. He's got to beat a Poirier, a Gaethje, a McGregor, a Dariush, like whatever it is. But if he could do that, if in 2 or 3 years' time he's laid out 4 or 5 title defenses, then I think Khabib might go, okay, this guy's proven himself to be a problem that people can't solve like I was. Let me come back and do something. And that could be massive. But yeah.
Do you think we're going to see him come back?
I don't know. I think it all depends on if anyone rises up that can actually spark his interest. Because he's beaten everyone else. You know, I don't think that Connor or Poirier or Gaethje, any of those, Khabib can just go, yeah, but I'm better than them and I've proved it by dominantly beating them. Whereas a new person coming through, someone he hasn't beaten like Oliveira, who's on, what, a 9-fight win streak now? If he can then defend the belt 3 times or something, go on a 12-fight win streak, defend the belt, he's beaten Tony, let's say he beats Poirier, let's say he beats Gaethje, he's done Michael Chandler, then I think Khabib goes, okay, there's someone worthy of me coming back at least. Whether he does or not is another issue, but no one's worthy of Khabib coming back right now. Oliveira might be in 2 or 3 years' time if he puts together some good title defences, but he has to win and he has to do it regularly and in decent style, I think.
Yeah. I mean, so we've said, like, where's Gaethje fit into this? You know, we've spoke about this, that he seems to be sort of floating about, really, and in quite a strange position in this division.
Yes.
Could we see him later this year maybe fight Michael Chandler?
Maybe. That's another option. But I think it's all dependent on what happens with Poirier McGregor. Because the obvious thing for Charles Oliveira next is the winner of Poirier McGregor. However, the UFC is a business, and if McGregor wins, I think McGregor as the champion is what the UFC wants. It's very money-making for them. So if McGregor wins, it's McGregor-Oliveira, no doubt in my mind. However, if Poirier wins and starts saying, hey, I want $3 million to fight Charles Oliveira at the next pay-per-view, whatever it is, and Gaethje's just waiting in the wings saying, I'd fight him for $1 million, then I think the UFC might go, okay, Gaethje, you get the shot. Because that's their business. That's what they do. They do stuff like that all the time. And if Poirier, after beating McGregor twice and making all that money, in the UFC's eyes, gets a bit too big for his boots, even though he will be a pretty big star by that point after beating McGregor twice, if the UFC believes Poirier is getting too big for his boots, they might just slide Gaethje in there to fight Oliveira as a bit of a power play and say to Poirier, you can wait. You know, and we'll see what happens there. Because Gaethje, I think, is one of those champions that will just fight anyone. He'll just go and fight anyone.
And we all want to see it. So exciting, Gaethje! He's one of my favourite fighters to watch. Because, you know, initially he was Mr. Take One to Give One, and you know he just threw. And it's been really nice seeing him really mature as a fighter and get more measured in, you know, in his way that he fights now. And, you know, he's a legit problem for anyone in that division. And I can't wait to see who he gets to fight next. But I'd like to see, you know, at some point, Gaethje Chandler, some heavy hands being thrown. I think that could be a cracker.
Well, I think if McGregor fights Oliveira, if Poirier and Oliveira deal gets done, if Poirier beats McGregor, then I think we could definitely see Chandler Gaethje, and I think that could be a great fight, because Gaethje is in a difficult position, as we've discussed in the past, where he's worthy of a title shot. I mean, well, we say that. He is coming off a loss to Khabib, but a loss to Khabib is everyone loses to Khabib. But I think that there's not many people out there that Gaethje should have to face before he gets a title shot. So we'll have to see what happens with again, it's the politics and the business side of things could get in the way there massively. So we'll have to see. But Gaethje Chana's a great fight. Gaethje Oliveira's a great fight. Poirier Oliveira, I think, is the highest level of mixed martial arts we will get in that lightweight division for a while. Poirier Oliveira is the two top guys without a shadow of a doubt going at each other. That's it. So in terms of, if you're a purist MMA fan, you just want to see the elite martial arts, Poirier Oliveira is the fight you want to see, I think. So you'll be rooting for Poirier against McGregor. But if you like storylines, if you like the circus, if you like fun and fireworks and, you know, red panty night jokes and all that kind of stuff, then you're going to be rooting for McGregor. And if you want to see Oliveira earn a lot of money, you'll be rooting for McGregor. So, yeah.
Man, I am loving the UFC at the moment, by the way, Blake.
Oh, like, mate.
Literally every week now, it's just stacked. We've just, it's super exciting. I mean, obviously, we all lost our minds over, you know, the 261. We've had some great events in between that. And then last night's card, just brilliant. Like, loads of drama, loads of incredibly odd and exciting finishes. So much more to come, man.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, so in the UFC this Saturday, we've got Rob Font versus Cody Garbrandt. Fantastic fight at bantamweight. Loads of implications in that in terms of who might be next up for the belt. I know we've got Sandhagen Dillashaw as the winner of that should be there. But Font Garbrandt, the winner of that, is probably looking at a title shot next or at least one away. Underneath that now, because of the COVID that happened to Hermanson's team, you've got Hermanson Shabazian as well. Also, this week on Friday, there's, I think, Bellator 259, Cyborg versus Smith 2. And on that card, we've got Brett the Pikey Johns making his Bellator debut. Now, it was going to be against Mateos Matos. That fight has unfortunately fallen out. I think Matos got COVID, so they've got a late notice replacement in for Brett Johns. But that fight will be going ahead. Brett will be fighting. And we have a fantastic interview with Brett Johns coming up this week. It was recorded before Matos fell out of the fight, but there's loads of chat with Brett. He talks about some fascinating, interesting things about going from the UFC to Bellator, the reasons for that. He talks about the mental health issues that mixed martial arts as a sport can bring to you, you know. And so it was a really open, honest chat with Brett Johns, and we're going to be backing him this Friday to win his Bellator debut. And yeah, it's a busy time in MMA.
Yeah, and won't say too much, but we have a very big guest coming your way soon. It's all recorded. It's in the back pocket. We've banked it. And, oh, boy, are you in for a treat. We've gone big, haven't we, mate?
Oh, it's going to be great.
All right, I'll see you next time.
Bye.